everybody, indeed. Welcome to Metanorn's Mini Talk on Aldnoa Zero for episode 2, Beyond the Horizon. I'm Jairo, joined by Kyokai.
Hello, guys.
Oh, Shizzle.
Hey.
Smiley.
Howdy.
And a Skyline.
Hello, everybody.
full house.
Yes, full house for you for this. As we talk about the Martian invasion on Earth, and much like what Germany did to Brazil, the Martians are doing unto Earth as they are dominating the battle.
Good job. There was
no battle. That was
slaughter.
Yeah, that was slaughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was funny. The guy was saying, like, we've been preparing 15 years for this attack, and then just so swiftly killed all across the planet, and their underwater cables and comms, all their forms of communication were destroyed. And we got to look at some of the big mechas that we might be seeing throughout this series, some Martian cataphracts that include some technologies like an energy whip, a lightning shield, and then as we see from Trill Ram in this episode, a shield that kind of looks like it disintegrates anything that's in its path.
Was anyone else cheering for the bad guys? I mean, I was, but like, yeah, get him.
Destruction.
I was like, blow it up. Yes.
You guys are
run, the humans
oh
run.
God. Oh my god! Like humans
well,
are
you
dying.
Know, at
you guys
some
are
given
like,
point, oh. At some given point, you just got to kind of cheer for them because that's all they're giving you, really. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. 2/3 of the episode, I almost had fatigue to the point where I'm going, wait a second, I'm actually supposed to be enjoying this. Go Martians, go.
Go Martians,
and then exactly. You know.
You know what? I just felt sad for the. I just felt sad for the family because in the end, you know, in the beginning, just like Jairo said, that, you know, they were like pretending, I mean, you know, we have prepared for this and whatever, and, you know, we will take them on. And, you know, everyone was so like geared up and everything. And then, you know, when the mega fights come in and all that, so Commander gets killed for the first time. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like all these characters. They know war is coming eventually, so it's kind of like it's inevitable, so they can't really go, I never saw this coming. So, I mean, they've been prepared, but they just don't know how overwhelmed they're going to get by the enemy.
Mm-hmm. How much wood like, they're going to be.
Right.
And then, as we discussed in the first episode about the princess, indeed, she's still alive. The reveal here, let's talk about this, is that she couldn't handle the gravity adjustment, so therefore she did not go to Earth and had a double go for her. Smiley, how did you feel about that reveal there?
Well, I mean, it was pretty much as expected. I mean, there are many predictions that were made last time we talked about this. And I guess it turns out the Padme theory was spot on.
Hey.
Although I thought maybe they would use that little maid girl as her substitute. Although I guess their statures are so different, it wouldn't work. But you know, there's that. And I guess I mean now we kind of see where the show goes from there because she's obviously trying to get back in contact with her folks. I don't know how she's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And also. I mean, it just because obviously the plot has been revealed where the whole thing is planned.
Yeah.
So now the question is, what even if she gets into contact with her people again, mm-hmm. you know, will they be willing to talk or will they be more inclined to silence her to promote their plans? I mean, I'm pretty sure people like I forget his name already. The other guy,
Slane.
No, his Slane's supervisory guy, not Trill Ram.
Mm-hmm. Cruteo.
Cruteo, there we go. I mean, he sounded quite genuine about his concern for the princess, so maybe it's just like a little faction that's under Trill Ram that's doing all this BS. So maybe if she just has to contact the right people, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
maybe his concern for the princess is that, you know, he's not done with her yet.
Yeah, maybe he has to use her, but, you know, at least he still has a use for her.
Or maybe he planned that from the very beginning. Maybe he knew there was going to be a substitution going on.
Hmm. Maybe.
And then we go up in the sky to where Slane is actually piloting a mech that is carrying an even bigger mech that Trill Ram is in, Bolcut Son, as I'll call him. And in that scene, you see Slain hesitate to kill these F-fighters, F-18s or whatever, and then that's when Trill Ram just takes control and just kills all of them, and the guy ejects thinking, oh, well, this is what I gotta do. Then he gets run over. So, some very glorified killing there.
Right, it was.
And then also there was the confirmation that Martians were indeed the terrorists that were involved in the assassination plot of the princess. And as quickly as we got to know about them, they were killed. Basically just slapped by Trill Ram's mech. I wish we had names for these mechs. It would be easier to identify them.
Like, giant purple beetle thing smashed them. It was like, I mean, that whole scene was kind of crazy because we'll talk about the girl in a second, but she kind of backed away. Did you notice that? And everyone else got killed. It's like, whoops. Yeah.
Well, she knew something. Her father told her to back away.
Right.
Maybe he had an idea that this was going to happen. I mean, as the viewers, we obviously knew that was the next thing, because once this plot exists, the people involved in the plot,
know too much. Yeah, exactly. So, I get rid of them, exactly.
So maybe her father had an idea, a hunch that this was going to happen, and maybe he had some hope that they would be able to go home. But you know, he had the smarts to have his daughter stand back, and that's good for her.
Mm-hmm. It's like, don't expect the NPCs to be NPCs all the time. You know, they have a brain of their own, so like, you know, they can tell their kids, "Hey, go away. You know, you can't be here. I'm dying, but you should not die. You know, you're an important character. You were in the opening."
Yeah, I mean, she's got an important role to play later, I think, I assume.
Yeah. I saw her in opening, so I was like, okay, she's surviving. She's not getting killed so easily here. But one thing about the huge giant beetle thing, whatever that is, purple shit, I mean, I don't know what type of, like, you know, designer we had for this, but... In a way, you know, the pilot is voiced by Takahiro Sakurai. He's one of my favorites. And it always pisses me off whenever he does a negative role, because, you know, he recently did a negative role in Noragami, you know, the guy in the mask and all that. Mm-hmm. It's the same guy. So, first of all, I'm pretty sure he's going to die very soon. You know, he doesn't seem very important. But really, like, the way he's been rampaging, I just hope he's killed very properly in the next one or two episodes. That's all I'm saying.
It'll be interesting to see how exactly they can break through that shield, because...
Yes.
I mean, he was walking through the highway like we walk through water. Like,
exactly.
Was just so
what was that?
For him.
Yeah.
Well, it appears to disintegrate all solid matter. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about, you know, other forms of matter. However, the interesting thing to note is that he can still walk. So... either there's some bullshit hocus-pocus going on in the feet, or maybe the feet aren't, you know, the soles of the foot are not shielded in some way so that he doesn't just fall through the earth, you know?
Right, yeah, there's got to be some exploit they can do.
Yeah, and even besides that, it's just so ridiculously overpowered that they might have to just throw in some BS limitation, you know, whether it be an energy or time limit or something. There's got to be something that prevents them from just going on and killing absolutely everyone without, you know, any checks in place, because that's just how it works, really.
I was thinking about, like, why he stopped in that moment where all the kids drove into that tunnel. I was thinking, like, maybe it's too thick at that level or something.
Yeah,
or...
I was hoping they would add something along those lines to where, you know, denser material or something like that, it would take some time to disintegrate. It would take some time for him to move through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm predicting it's going to be like he's going to move towards that and this one's going to deactivate it at the right moment and cut the robot in half and he gets killed. Or I think Slain probably will figure out how to hack into it and disable the shield.
Or he could be killed by Princess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They made reference that she had some sort of control over that Aldnoa energy.
Mm-hmm. And she certainly is gun-toting from the opening. Mm-hmm. So there's that. My personal belief is that the guy Chilram stopped because maybe I keep forgetting his name. The other guy, Criteo, there we go. Because maybe Criteo was personally coming down to survey the scene. I don't know. That could be it. Because he said that he played with them too long. But then again, that could also work the same way with, you know, oh, I played with them too long. Now they've escaped in a tunnel that I can't go into. So who knows?
Yeah. Oh, no. Main characters got away. Drats. Next time. That whole thing.
Yeah, and before that, we saw that one of the first kids died here with Okisuke as... He was, you know, that was really cool, just kind of, you know, it's horrible because he died, but just seeing him just sort of floating in the air and then just, poof, just disintegrated.
I
rewinded that scene because I thought he had it, he was latched onto the rope, and I checked, like, wait, did he not get it or something? But it looked like he had it, so I was kind of confused about why he was floating free if he had attached that that hook to the rope.
Right, yeah, it was kind of confusing.
I think the rope disintegrated as well. I mean, like, whatever he was catching on to, because, like, we see
him was going on to it.
I thought that the rope was hooked onto itself and tied around the sister's neck or something like that. That's what I thought was happening. So it was more like a lasso on one end around the mech, and then the other end is attached to the truck thing.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just trying to rationalize it. It was a bit shady. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes.
The way they transition with the animation that scene, you kind of see Trillram come in, and then he makes the step, and then they float, and they're holding hands, and Inoue's like, what?
See you later.
he's trying to grab on. Like, it was kind of weird though, but why he didn't show more emotion? You know, like, your friend has just died or like is on his way of dying. I mean, show some emotion. He's just looking on. You know, I guess it's part of his character that, you know, he's kind of the silent type. But I was kind of disturbed by the lack of emotion. Yeah.
I think that's just in his character. I think it's just how he's been written right now.
I mean,
but yeah, go ahead.
Early on in the episode, he was at home making breakfast.
Just right, like, he was.
Yeah. Nothing's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't really have a care in the world, I don't think.
Everything's cool.
You idiot.
And he was making rolled omelets this time and not scrambled eggs like he did last episode.
I got plenty of time. I'm going to get fancy with this. People aren't dying or anything.
I haven't seen the mirror. Okay. I have to look for the mirror. Where is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I have to go buy it.
It's like, I'll go to the store. I need some more toast. Ah, damn. No more toast.
This guy thinks he's on Food Network.
Yeah, I was convinced that Nora Butcher was going to kill off his sister in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
That, if anything, would
that would have done something. Set
him off.
Yeah, that would have done something.
Hey, there's like, still time.
Yeah, there's still time.
Maybe next episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I just remember watching that scene going, oh, no, the guy from 1 Week Friends died. No. See you later. Come back next time. Oh, well.
And then at the end, when they stop and they realize Okisuke's dead, Marito, who had gotten beaten by Trillram but not killed, radioed in and said, you know, try not to be a hero, but, you know, get the mechs and try and divert him away, because I think that's what we, Smiley and you guys were just mentioning about the potential weakness that Trillram has with the big purple mech. But Inoue wants to be a hero.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the guy Marito got so freaking lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the main guy's sister, like they got super lucky. But I mean, they're main characters, obviously.
Well, yeah, he had some plot armor going on.
Right. Like, you can't touch.
I was like, oh my god, he's gonna die! He's gonna die! Yep, he's gonna die! Literally, I was just like, no.
Yeah, he got slapped in. As
stomach, purple, I think,
just
right?
slapped in the right spot to where the
right.
just sort of the shoulders and the head fell down. Click, click,
yeah.
click.
Yeah.
And his sister was in the head unit thing, so she got lucky. Like, oh, jeez. Yeah.
She had like a head bag or a head airbag.
Yeah, she did.
And then some other notes, some swearing in this episode after the opening. We should talk about that real quick. Missiles come flying past, and the guy's just like, dickhead! Like, what?
Yeah, he did.
And then
I rewound it, and literally, I just want to make sure, was it in Japanese or not?
Yeah.
isn't the subs or the Japanese? No, it was actually dickhead. All right.
And then we see the guys looking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, he was playing an online game, and someone came in and PK'd him at the time. You know.
The guy was playing Sword Art Online.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gun Gale.
Yep.
And then fucking Martians.
That was my favorite part. I was like, I don't know what it is. When they say it in Japanese, it makes me fucking laugh. I mean,
exactly.
I just can't. I don't know why. And I was the same way. I was like, yeah, screw them. Like, oh wait, no, I like the Martians. Screw you, humans. And that whatever. Mm-hmm.
Goddamn humans.
No, jeez, get your act together. Oh.
So all in all, an awesome episode. Action pep. Packed episode, great music in the second half of the episode, and you know, some of our predictions were true, kind of not difficult to come up with, but still interesting to see how it's all playing out. And you know, we'll, you know, in the next episode maybe we'll get to see the children fight,
right? Because we're going back to school. Yay.
Yeah.
I think we should go for the, you know, death clock or something, you know, for the next episode. We should predict who's gonna die next. I really love this game, I swear.
Well, let's say all New Orleans is gone.
Yeah,
kind of hard to predict
this character, because I'm pretty sure that even whatever the cast we have right now, there will be some death soon. One thing I really want to, you know, think about is that, you know, the Martian technology is so overpowering. I mean, it's just, you just cannot compete. Seriously, the way these guys just destroyed everything without anything, it's just almost like, you know, similar to War of Worlds, the kind of technology they have is that it, and everything is gone, blow up, right, or whatever. So my question is, what will the humans do? I mean, yes, I understand, like, you know, Inaho, however lack of emotion he has, he was pretty gearing up to get into the mecha and maybe, like, you know, go fight it out. But, you know, he's just going to die if he does that. So is Princess going to help them in getting the Alnoa technology, or are we going to get a mega drop from somewhere? I'm just waiting now.
Or actually have one of the Martians help out. That might be a while if that comes to fruition. The idea that
I was suspecting a fifth column from there from the first episode.
Yeah, I was thinking that, or I was thinking maybe the Princess has her own personal robot they can use. That they get hold of Slane, they can send it to them.
I don't know about that. Mm.
Why can't the princess have her own armor?
Well, that's just not what typically happens. Then again, or Butcher might, or whoever's doing this, the scripts after episode 3 might surprise us. But the way it is, I mean, she's said to be like a descendant of whatever gods or whatever. So and we kind of briefly mentioned that she might have some direct control over, you know, the technology that the Martians have. So she might not even need to use a mech herself. The way I see it, she'd probably be, and also she's supposed to be a pacifist. So, although she does wield a gun in the opening, but that might be something for closer to the end. So the way I see it, she's going to try to reason things out more. Maybe, like, Troram will be utterly bashing on the kids because there's absolutely no way that they can fight back, at least at first. And then maybe she'll reveal herself to try to, like, stop him. Be like, hey, I'm alive. And then he'll be like, sucks to be you because I want you to be dead too. And then he'll continue to attack. And then, and at this point, and now I'm just going crazy with my ideas here. Two things can happen. Maybe, you know, some freak thing happens and his advantage in technology goes away somehow, or, you know, Criteo comes down and is like, hey, what's going on, guys? Why is the princess still alive? Or Slane shows up and is like, I've had enough of this shit and I'm gonna fight for my fellow humans. But I think the last one actually isn't too likely to happen. I don't think it's too likely because I feel like there's a lot of development they could do by continuing to push him in, you know, showing him kind of being kind of timid and decisive and not doing anything. And then maybe that girl, whatever her name was, she's like the perfect counterpart for him, the Martian kind of stranded on Earth. Maybe they could have some sort of thing going on where it kind of mirrors them both, and then eventually the two of them make up their minds to support whichever side, and that'll come maybe like at the end of the first half, and then we break for the second half or something like that. Who knows? But like, there's so much that could happen. But I just don't think the princess will be fighting in the first half. She'll probably be doing a lot of talking and yelling, right, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I only see two things playing out, like Earth having a hybrid machine that's both alien and Earth technology combined, or they actually have an ancient robot they've been saving for just in case. And the option of slaying, I do see him eventually helping the humans, because they've been hinting at it every episode that, you know, you're trash. Everyone hates him up in space, so he's kind of got no choice to help the Earthlings.
Okay, one thing about Slane, just a question, is isn't he human, or is he half? I mean, yeah, did we human, get the explanation on him?
Yeah, I think he's human, and they call him Terran as a derogatory name.
Yeah, so Terran is basically human. So my question was that he was there to be, in a way, steward for the princess, in a way, like if you think of it in a royal family thing, whatever. Right. So if he was her steward, what I have a feeling is that, like, you know, princess was pretty much influenced with him, what we have seen. And whatever we saw in the second episode of her, she was pretty much pissed off in a way of whatever what was happening. But, you know, she's kind of very powerless right now to do whatever. So I definitely see her doing something with the humans, and then Slane most probably joining her in her battle, because I'm pretty sure that she wasn't very clear on Martians have this whole strategy going for overpowering the Earth. Mm-hmm. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah, like right now, as much as we know, we can theorize about mechs and other technologies and other stuff, but right now, Slane, as from much as what we can see, can be an X factor for Earth with the information that maybe he knows, and maybe having some piloting skills. He can be a service to them. Let me see, is there anything else from this episode? The CG use, we saw a lot of it in this episode with some of the mechs. It was good. There's nothing really to, you know, be annoyed about or something. You know, it's noticeable, but it's fine. It applies to what action is going on there. And then I enjoyed the guy who is doubting Marito and sort of telling him off that he was quickly killed by Trill Ram.
Yeah. There's a moment they called her a 10 or whatever. He's like, oh, she's a 10. And the only thing I'll mention is the robot designs. I like how each of them are different. I kind of like that. It's a unique style. How each, you know, castle has a different robot design. Mm-hmm. They're all the same.
I like that one that we saw through the camera of that one Earth mech, where it kind of looked like it had long legs, it was tall, it was
yeah,
much
that
thinner,
was pretty awesome. You
know. The laser one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The red eyes. The red
Cyclops.
Eyes. Yeah.
And then the lightning shield was pretty cool too, how that worked.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else to add before I sign off here?
Nope. Looking forward
I guess
to
all good. Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of, what do you say, concerned about Mr. Marito. I'm kind of invested in his character more than the main characters. So I hope he survives by the end, because I really like the sensei, even if he's drunk half the time.
Yeah, Nakai Kaji is cool as him.
Yep.
All right, so thank you for listening for our mini talk on episode 2 for Kyo, Fosh, Some in Sky. I'm Jero, and we'll see you next week on the Aldno Zero Mini Talk.
Bye!
Go Martians!
Lakers!
Adios!